Well, good morning, and also I extend a Christian greeting to you and also the visitors. Thank you for all for coming. I've been blessed this morning already with the order of the service and the things that have been shared, and I thought, to me, it's just a confirmation, I believe, that what God has laid on my heart to share with you this morning, that is from the Lord. It's something that I've been kind of on my mind for some time, and so I'd just like to share this with you this morning. You know, even in the song, one of the songs earlier this morning, Brother Gabriel, he read from that song about Elijah, you know, in the cave. And it was in the cave where he heard, or out of the cave, but that's where the Lord spoke to him. But why was he in the cave? What was he doing there? The Lord asked him that question, didn't he? You know, I just thought that's amazing. I have that in my notes that I wanted to share that. And we'll get to that. But he was there because of fear. That's why he was there. He was running for his life. Does God want you and me as Christians to live in fear? We were also, I think I heard it in a prayer, and I believe if I would, as Christians, every one of you, a raising of hands and ask, do you want God to use you? Would you want God to use you? We all want to be used of God. But many times, fear, when he asks us to do something, fear sticks up its ugly head, doesn't it? Fear. Or maybe you don't have a problem with this. Maybe you don't struggle with that. Yes. And I had to think, you know, we were reading about, in Hebrews, about the men of faith and what all transpired and what all God did with their lives and through them. How much would have happened if they would have been controlled by fear? Do you think we would have Hebrews chapter 11? By faith, they did thus and thus. I don't think so. So if you want God to use you, you have to be, allow him to deliver us. He wants to set us free. He wants to set you free from fear and me. So the title of my message this morning is Freedom from the Spirit of Fear. Freedom from the spirit of fear. Jesus said about, I had to think of, he said that men's heart will be failing them because of fear. He's saying that to the unbelievers. Majority of the world and of unbelievers, I think, are fear is very prevalent. But what about in Christians? Jesus wants to set us free, doesn't he? From the spirit of fear. Because fear can do you a lot of things to the Christian. Negatively. Yes, it can hinder God from using you. The spirit of fear. Fear can do a lot of things, like I said. It's been some time ago, but I'll just share this story. I'm not sure who said it, but I'm pretty sure I heard it sometime about the story of pudding on the back porch. And it was there for dinner. Somehow the cat got into it on the back porch and helped herself a little bit to this good pudding. The cat was chased out of the porch, off the back porch, but it was still served for lunch with company that day. And afternoon, as they were visiting, the cat was seen to be dead out in the yard. So the host of the house came and she just said to the company, "I just want to let you know that I didn't tell you before, but that the cat got in the pudding. The cat is dead out in the yard. So if any of you feel kind of sick, I just want to let you know." You know, it wasn't long that two of them felt that their stomach was upset. Later they found out that a car hit the cat on the road. See what fear can do? Fear will do that. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." So we see from this passage what is God's heart and will for you and me as children of God. He doesn't want us to dwell in fear. He doesn't want to have fear to have an abiding place in your life. Now, we'll be tempted with fears, and sometimes we'll even struggle with fears. But as far as it having a place of abiding, a place in your life, no. The Christian has to deal with fear from time to time. We just do. Just like any other sins of the flesh. They should not have a stronghold on your life. But you know, if they're not dealt with properly through the power and the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will and can become a stronghold. But Jesus Christ wants to set you free and keep us free. John 8:32, "And he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then my daughter Joy, when she asked me what I was going to be preaching or sharing today, I told her, and then she says, she reminded me. She said that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. I thought, wow, one for each day, isn't it? 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for each day of the year. So God does not want his children to live in fear. Just think of it, of you as parents. Do you want your children to live in fear in your house? Sometimes they do, you know. But you help them through those fears, don't you? Like Willard said this morning, thunderstorms, you know, they can lightning. They can really make tremors to go in the heart of a child. Like I heard a story just this week. A man was sharing, I was listening to a CD on fear, and he was saying about this little girl came into the bedroom. She was all scared, you know, a thunderstorm was coming. And it was thundering and lightning, and she said, "Mama, could I sleep in your bed with you?" She says, "No. Daddy sleeps with me. Just go back to your room. God is with you. God will be with you." She said, "Mama, could Daddy go sleep with God and I sleep with you?" So those fears are real in their hearts and their life. You know, but how would it be if it just be continue there and you provide for them, you care for them, you promise there will always be food on the table, always be food available, but yet when you come in the house, you discern the fear in their eyes. You can just see it when you look at them. Something's not right. This fear, how would it make you feel as a parent, as a daddy, as a mother? You'd really want to help your child, wouldn't you? Do you get the point? Neither does God want you to live in fear. He is just as anxious and made all the provisions for you to live above fear. Be free from the spirit of fear, as you would have your child. You would not be happy with it. Neither is God. What is fear? The dictionary defines fear as an emotion, as the emotion of being afraid, of feeling danger, or evil is near, uneasy, anxious thoughts. Fear is projecting defeat or failure sometime in the future. You know, I don't know what they are. I think they all vary for different people, Christians. Fear of not being accepted. Fear of being rejected. Fear of failure in finances. Fear can do strange things. You have the fear of man. It can even be the fear of not getting married. Fear, I could not be a good wife or a mother or a husband. I could not. You fill in the blank. Fears of failure. Fears that I won't be saved. Fears my children won't be saved. You fill in the blank. You know, the scriptures do teach about having a proper fear of God, a reverence for God. That's not really my topic today, that type of fear. And I'm not talking about the type of fear when you get close to the edge of a cliff or come in contact with a rattlesnake. You know, that is a God-given healthy fear, meaning step back. There's danger. That is right and good. That is a God-given fear sense that God has given to each one of us. Or run through a stoplight. But Satan is a master counterfeiter and wants to take away what God has meant for good and distort it for his own destructive purposes and fill our hearts with fears that really don't have a foundation. Kind of like this. Spell fear. F E A R. False evidence appearing. Who can put this one in for me? False evidence appearing real. Thank you. You know, and if that becomes a part of a life, it kind of has equals what? We'll talk about that a little bit later. And Satan is good at doing this. I mean, maybe that doesn't sound quite right, false evidence. But he's kind of good at doing that, isn't he? Make something that is not appear very real. So that spells fear, false evidence appearing real. I had to think of Proverbs 21:1 says, the wicked man, wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Why does he flee? Well, he has a guilty conscience, but because of fear, is it not? And there's no one even after him. He just heard the wind blowing, whistling in the trees or something like that. But he's off, fleeing, because of fear. But it says, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Wow. You know, we see a little bit of that, don't we, in Hebrews 11, when you go through those men of character of faith. They were bold as a lion. But the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. You know, kind of like sometimes I remember in our, at home, I'm not suggesting you do this, but sometimes when a stray dog or a neighbor dog came around too often, we just tied some tin cans on his tail. And the rattling of that, you know, he would just go and it would just, you know, he would head for home. But you know, what was it? Really nothing. Just some tin cans. As soon as he'd stop, you know, the rattling would stop. Job 3:24. We know what happened to Job. 3:24-26 says this. For my sighings cometh before I eat. My roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come upon me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. You know, that tells us, that was a little bit Job's testimony there. He says, the thing which I feared is come upon me. Job had fear. He had fears. And some have said that that fear gave Satan a legal right to attack him, or an opportunity, or like ammunition. Gives him ammunition if he knows where your fears are. Our fears provide Satan's kingdom a foothold in our lives. So this type of fear is not of God. This type of fear is of the devil. Fear is our enemy. It is a vital part of Satan's kingdom, and its desire to control us, to weaken or steal our faith and your confidence in God. Now I'd just like to go to 1 Kings 19. Think about Elijah. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings 19. You know, chapter 18 gives us the account of a great victory that Elijah had on Mount Carmel. There hadn't been rain for 3 years. And Ahab the king, he was mad at Elijah because he blamed him that it didn't rain. He didn't realize it was just because of his own sins. So there was a contest on Mount Carmel, and I think it's something you are know what happened. The 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah, the contest up there on the mountain. He says, okay, let's see who is God. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God, and you serve him. Well, the prophets of Baal, they put their bullock on the altar, and they started praying and crying out to God, and they're God of Baal, and nothing happened, nothing happened. And soon they started jumping up on the altar and cutting themselves with knives, and Elijah stood back and he said, perhaps your God is maybe sleeping, maybe he's on a journey, and perhaps you have to awaken him. But nothing happened. No fire came out of heaven. And then, now it was Elijah's turn. He repaired the altar of God. It was broken down. He repaired it. Put on the bullock. And they poured 3 barrels of water on, or 4 barrels. They said, do it again. Do it again. So it was like 12 barrels of water on the altar. It was saturated with water. And he prayed to God, and God answered by fire. You know, then after that, They slew the 450 prophets of Baal. What a victory. Then not only after that, then Elijah prayed for rain. And it rained buckets. God answered his prayer. It rained. Right away, the next chapter. Now, chapter 19. Jezebel hears the news about all this. Well, we'll just read this. It says to verse 10, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." You know, somehow that really sent Elijah off. I said, fear can cause us to do a lot of things. Cause us to run, doesn't it? That's exactly what it did for Elijah. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth unto Judah, and left his servants there, his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I'm not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights under Horeb, the mount of God. It would be Mount Sinai, a great distance from where he was here. That was a long ways off south. I'm not sure how many miles. But he says he went 40 days and 40 nights and he got there to Mount Sinai, where up on the mountain there was a cave. That's where he went in. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, "What dost thou hear, Elijah?" See, God didn't really tell him to go here. He says, "What are you doing here?" And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So, we see it put Elijah on the run. Like I said, fear drove him to the wilderness, didn't it? First it says here in verse 4, he went into the wilderness, a day's journey into the wilderness. That's what fear will do for you. It'll do for me. It'll drive us into the wilderness. And what is the wilderness? It's the wilderness of anxiety. Oh, it's here. Restlessness. Worry. Sadness. Discouragement. Insecurity. And I think there's a scripture in John that says, John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment." This wilderness has torment with it. Torment is just anxious thoughts, you know, that continually want to go through your mind. Imaginations. So false evidence appearing real, this is what it does, you know. So if we have these symptoms in our life, then there's because of fears in the heart. You know, fear of and being superstitious is very prevalent in unbelievers, but also becomes knocking on your doors and my doors, the Christian's door, and wants an abiding place and can become very serious problems if victory is not obtained in Christ. Like I said in the beginning, fear also lives in the lives of children. Maybe some more than others. What should we do as parents? You know, I just like to give a little bit of direction here. You know, fear is in your children. What do we do as parents? One thing you don't want to do is belittle them. Think, well, big boys and girls don't do something like that. You know, just help them. Talk to them. Maybe there's some real fears in there that you just need to help them through. Listen to them. Because if they don't, then they just shut up and they just hide their fears. If at night they're afraid in their room and it's dark, you just tell them, "Hey, you be quiet or I'll come into your room and I'll paddle you." Then they just pull up the blankets over their head and in fright go to sleep. And as I was studying and meditating for this message, there was an incident that came to my mind from one of our children that was afraid. You know, you would tuck them to bed, kiss them goodnight, turn off the lights, go to the living room, and you'd sit down on your comfortable chair and read. And then it wasn't long. It was, "Daddy, I'm scared." You know, and it was just happening too often. So I had in my mind to go to the room. This happened years ago. Go to the room for some, give some correction. With that, I just thought it's time for paddling. And I remember very vividly, I'm on the way to the room, halfway to the room. The Lord spoke very clearly to my heart. Don't paddle the child. You know, it wasn't an audible voice, but when God speaks in your spirit loudly, I got the message. It was as real as an audible voice. Don't paddle the child. So I just went into the room, sat and talked with my child, asked questions. I listened, and he told me how he sees these terrible pictures that make him afraid. After a while I just said, you know, now we're going to pray and ask God to take away these pictures and whatever makes him afraid, these bad pictures, so he won't be afraid anymore. You know, that's just what we did. You know, I just prayed for him in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what these bad pictures are, but Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would remove them from this, my son, that they have no part over him in this room and in this house. Lord, and give him sweet dreams, good pictures, not bad pictures. And you know what? It did. God worked. I mean, it was, that was it. There was no more fear of going to bed. Wasn't afraid when the lights went out. And praise be to Jesus. Now, I remember even one thing that he said at that time was, he says, now I see good pictures. I almost forgot about that, but when I was studying for this message, that came back to me. So I thought I'd just share it with you as parents, because you deal with that. You know, and if we don't help them through those struggles, they grow up with them, and they just cover them up. They hide behind them. And fear just becomes a part of their lives right into their adulthood. And then it just kind of seems to become normal. A normal life. Well, everybody has these problems. Everybody struggles with these fears. And if it gets too bad, you know, you can go to the doctor and get all kinds of medication to subdue it and keep you calm. Yes, for all those anxieties. But you know, the medical, they can do it, cover the symptoms. But medical textbooks list a good many diseases that have their root cause in fear. Wow, I was kind of struck when I read that. And it's proven. It's in the, you know, in fear and stress. So is it a wonder why God doesn't want his, you and me as his children to be living in fear? Okay, other things that fear will do. Psalm 78 verse 9 says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. That's one thing it'll do. Fear will cause you to draw back instead of moving forward to higher ground in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It will cause you to keep your mouth shut for Jesus. Your fear, you fear you can't say it right. I just can't say it right. The good news of the gospel. Satan's purpose is for fear to make you ineffective in God's kingdom. Ineffective for God's kingdom. And I just happened to think about Matthew 25 when I was sitting over here. Matthew 25. Remember when he gave the three servants, each a number of talents, I think five, then three, and one. The last one said, when the Lord came for his talent, ask an account of him, he says, I was afraid. That was the first thing he said. I was afraid. I thought, wow. You know? So fear kept him from being effective in God's kingdom. Isaiah 51, 12, 13 says, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgetteth the Lord thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor? You know, fearest every day because of the fear of the oppressor. That's what he wants to do. But he says, don't forget me. God is saying to Isaiah, I've made the heavens and the earth. And in that song we were singing, I thought that fits so well, too. I think about...
Master of the tempest is...
Yes, thank you, Willard. Master of the tempest, he can calm the storms. Fear erodes your confidence in God's goodness. Fear will hinder you from hearing God's voice, because you hear his voice telling you to fear. Fear feeds worry. Dwell on your fears and your faith will starve. Feed your faith and your fears will starve. Fear never saved a marriage or a business, brought food on the table, or paid the bills. So why fear? You know, Matthew 14 gives the account of Jesus sending his disciples out at sea. He said, cross the sea, I'll meet you. You know, he says, just take the boat here. And it was evening. They probably would have, their comfort zone would have been to go home that evening. They had a big day, fed 5,000 people with the loaves and two fishes. But in the evening, Jesus said, I want you to go across the lake in this boat. So they obeyed. They got in there and obeyed. But through the night, the wind rose. That struggled through that night. And towards morning sometime, I think it was in the third watch, they saw something on the water. And it was Jesus. And they didn't know who it was. They didn't know what it was. It just says, they cried out for fear, in fear, for they think they had seen a spirit. But listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus. He told them immediately. You know, he wasn't out trying to scare them, but he just immediately spoke. He says, be of good cheer. That's the opposite of fear, isn't it? Meaning, hey, take courage. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Don't fear. You know, and there's many accounts like that in the New Testament. I could spend another hour and go through them. The many times that Jesus, when his disciples were, their hearts were given to fear. Jesus says, fear not. Don't fear. I am with you. Be of good cheer. But I don't have time for that. But it's just to let you know what Jesus' heart and his will is for his disciples and for you. So take courage. We know it's not God's will for you to live in fear. This is the first step to victory. That's something we should desire. If this has a place in our lives, is victory. The steps to victory. Knowing that it is not God's will for you to live in fear. He has something so much better for you. You know, like Peter stepping out onto the water, you know, when he sees the waves coming. When he saw the wave coming, whatever that may be in your life, the wave that comes against you is different than the wave that comes against me. You know, the first thing that wants to do is fear wants to hit us. Faith leaves. Because they're really opposite to each other, aren't they? They can't dwell together. It's like two magnets. When you turn them around, they don't cleave to each other. You know, you cannot cradle fear and grow in faith. Jesus will ask you to take your, like he did Peter. He said, come. Take your step out of the boat. Step out in faith. But when you do, keep your focus on Jesus. And not on the wave that shakes, that shook the boat, and that wants to take you down. Yes. Jesus wants to give us victory. He wants to help us through those fears. And different times, you know, when the disciples fear, Jesus, I don't think, doesn't come to my mind that he was angry with them. I don't know any time he was angry with them. Are you angry with your child when something, you know, something that you can clearly see should not fear him, but your child is afraid? Are you angry with him? No, we're not angry. That's just the same way Jesus is. He's not angry with you, but he just wants to help us. He wants to help you. So you're free from that spirit of fear. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know, fear feeds the imagination. It does. As long as you give it opportunity, as long as you let it, it's just there pouring in into the imagination. And it is a high thing also. It's a high thing. And another thing it does, it exalts itself against what is truth, what is real. It does. I'd just like to share an experience with some fears that I faced years ago. It was real. When someone in the church had a car accident, I would get this thought. This is exactly the thought that I got. It's about your turn. Your turn's coming. You know, that just put a fear in me. You know, but I never received it. I would not receive it because it was not from God. It was not, that was a fear that was exalting itself against truth, against you, against the knowledge of God, against truth. I would respond to that, "I refuse to accept that in Jesus' name." When those thoughts would come to me, that's what I would do. "I refuse to accept that in Jesus' name." I even forgot about that. When I was studying for this, that came to my mind. But you know, when those fears, like I said, we all deal with them as Christians. When they come against you, the Lord doesn't want me to drive down the road, you know, and just trembling in fear. I mean, those cars do pass right by you about 60 miles an hour, about 3-4 feet from you. But does he want you to drive down in anguish, restlessness, you know, just thinking it's about your turn? No. God wants us to be careful, yes. He wants you to drive, and me to drive with caution. And there's many times for you and for me, I think the Lord spared us from accidents. And that's not saying that one can't happen to me. That's not what I'm saying. But it won't be because I'm driving down the road and listening to that voice of fear. No. Even if it does happen, I will trust the Lord even in that, that he will see me through. The point is, don't give in to the spirit of fear. "I refuse to accept that in Jesus' name. I received the victory over the spirit of fear that came against me." Okay, Psalms 46 says, 1-3, "God is our refuge." God is your refuge. In times of fear, he's your refuge, your strength. It says, "A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Then it says, "Selah." That means, think of that. Wouldn't that just be good to meditate on that for a little bit? That's what Selah means. Think of that. He says, we will not fear though all that happens. Wow, that is victory, isn't it? Jesus can give that. And he told the disciples, hey, the time will come when men's heart will, when they see things come to pass, says men's hearts will fail them for fear. But hey, let not your heart be troubled. Isn't it amazing? You know, when you don't fear and everybody's heart is troubled, do you know what? The world will look at you and wonder what you got. You have some security that they don't have. See, they have insecurity. But you have a security that they don't have. They wonder, what is it that you have? It's because your hope is in God. Your trust is in God. Psalms 34, 3 to 4 says, O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. See, David had fears too at times. He did. I mean, just think of all what David went through. He was running from Saul. If it wasn't here, he had to watch himself from the Philistines. You know, they wanted to get this giant killer. So he had fears on every side. But he says, this was his testimony. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Think about steps to victory over fear. He's my refuge, my strength. I sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from my fears. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't it amazing? What a Savior we have. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yes. Psalms 23, 4, a very familiar scripture. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why doesn't he fear? He says, for thou art with me. You know, even though I walk through that valley, it's a shadow, remember? Not the real thing. For thou art with me. It's an awareness of God's presence with him. That's what makes the difference. You know, sheep cannot rest when they have fear. Sheep will not lie down and rest, chew their cud, be content and happy when they have fear in their midst, in their whole life. The wolf is out there. He's wanting to get in. But you know what changes that? When the shepherd comes around, an awareness of his presence, fear just leaves. Because they know the good shepherd will take care of the wolf. His presence calms their fears. Likewise for you and me. Then, what Brother Allen read, 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah and his servants and his servant confronted by the Syrian army. I don't know how many there were, but there they were the next morning, and they were looking for Elijah. They were looking for him. They found him. Elijah's servant was trembling with fear. He didn't see what Elijah saw. Elijah was aware of God's presence with him. His servant was very much aware of the Syrian army, the waves around him. He was aware of that. But his servant was not until he had his eyes opened. His eyes opened. Then he saw. But somebody prayed for him. You know who that was? That was Elijah. He says, Lord, open the eyes of my servant so that he can see what I see. Sometimes, you know, when you can't find victory, it's good just to have someone maybe pray for you and help you through those struggles. Again, closing with 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Power. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit. That tells us we need a vital connection with God through the Holy Spirit, a sound mind. The antidote to fear is a vital relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So if you have fear this morning, I think the first thing is to do, you know, it's one thing if we just struggle, you know, and we win those battles, but if it's something that is just kind of like a shadow over us, it's just hanging there, you know, God doesn't want that. I think first thing we need to do is recognize it. Repent. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and leave them there. You know, and I just thought, I'll just bring this along for an illustration. I had to think of this. You know, sometimes we can make a lot of excuses for our fears. Well, you know, so and so. Because we get so comfortable with them. You know, if they wouldn't be a part of our lives, and yet we don't like them, and yet we do. It's like just hugging a teddy bear. You know. Because we kind of feel comfortable with those fears. Somehow we think maybe they do a little bit protect us, but they don't really. They hinder us. You know how God looks at this? If we clutch fears to us like this, we don't want to let go. God looks at more like a porcupine to your soul. It's not good for you. So he wants us to get rid of them. I'll turn the time over to you, James.